changing hand. Well, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand.
Unchanging hand.
Yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Transition. Lord of earth, unmoved can't stand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Let's hold to God's unchanging. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you are glad to be in church on Saturday night? What a privilege it is to get to come to the house of the Lord. Glad you're here. Did you come to have church? Did you come to worship? Did you come to be a blessing? Did you come to receive a blessing? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight with all your heart. We're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand.
Unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal.
Let's hold to God's unchanging. Say praise the Lord. Oh, let's give Him a real good hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to look at our prayer requests. We got a lot to let you know about tonight. Brother Fred, if you get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight on behalf of these requests. Katie Lorindu was on hospice for about a year and a half. They let her go. She is too well for hospice. God is a healer. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, they let her go. I'm glad hospice let her go. She's too well for hospice. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful testimony tonight? I want to remember Brother and Sister Baker in prayer, both not feeling well, so let's remember them as we pray tonight. I want to continue to remember Brother Aaron Cobb in prayer tonight. He's been in the hospital since Monday. He removed his gallbladder, found some other things that they're sending for tests, just a lot of pain, a lot of things going on with him. We believe God's a healer for Brother Aaron also, don't we? We just believe that. We just commit all that unto the Lord. Brother Aaron Cobb, just a precious brother, and we want to remember him as we pray tonight. We want to pray for Sister Simone Stinsbali, who is having a test next week for her job. The test is very difficult. She's just seeking the will of the Lord and asking us to really pray that the Lord would help her to be able to pass this test. It's for her employment, and she's just a longtime streamer. We just want to commit her to the Lord tonight. God's able to move on her behalf. Don't we believe that tonight? I want to pray for Brother Lewis, Sister Linda Lawris. They both having shoulder pain. Their arms very painful. Let's just remember them tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of them. I want to pray for the Mays family from Alabama. They stream our services. Both are very sick and request prayer from the saints. So let's remember that family tonight in prayer. I want to pray for Sister Anna Shipley. She wants to thank the church for their prayers. Continue to remember her eyesight, that the Lord would be able to just touch her and she can get back in the house of the Lord. That's her desire. That's a good desire, isn't it? I want to pray for Brother Greg Robbins, having a lot of pain over his body, needs a touch from the Lord. He's asking that we would remember him tonight. I want to continue to remember the Moyer family in prayer, the legal situations that's going on in their life concerning their children. God is very mindful of that, and God's able to fix that. We just commit it all unto the Lord. We believe God's able to fix that need tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know God's bigger than all your problems? He's bigger than anything that's bothering us. When I look back and reminisce about last weekend's message about our brother Paul, my infirmities are as nothing compared to what Brother Paul went through. So let's smile, let's grin our way through this. God's able to help us out. God's able to fix our situation. Whatever it is you're going through, God's able to fix it. And when you get to looking at it, it's not really that bad to start with. It may be difficult, but you can get through it. He didn't promise you smooth sailing. He didn't promise you smooth sailing, but he did promise you a safe landing. So we're going to land safely. Do you believe that tonight? Somebody say, I believe you with all my heart. Give him one more hand clap of praise as you stand tonight. Brother Fred, come tonight. Take us to the Lord. Certainly appreciate Brother Fred. He's just a precious brother. God bless our brother Fred Perry tonight. Love you, buddy. Praise the Lord.
Love you. And just love the Lord for all he's done. And grandmother back there being taken off of hospice, and you think they're right at the doorstep of death and ready to go to heaven and ready to see the Lord. And the Lord says, no, I'll just keep you around for a while. So I'm grateful for that. So let's bow our heads and pray tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we've come to you, Lord, with heavy hearts, Lord, bringing these prayer requests to you, Lord. It touches me, Father. I'm so full of joy, and yet I'm so full of sadness. And between the contrast, Lord, I sometimes are so confused I don't know how to feel. But I can trust your word, Father. And it doesn't matter how the world sees us. We know who's living inside. And we call out to you, just like that little girl standing on the side waving her little flag at the king. And she said, as she was crying to the teachers, that the king never seen her. But I heard the prophet say them words, that's not like Jesus. Jesus sees every need that we have. Jesus sees every trial that we go through. He gives us strength through those things. And Father, sometimes it's a hard thing to pull up on that water to get it out of the well. But let every person tonight drink from the well of the living waters of that word. Let your minister come forth, Lord. Give me a drink. I might look like the oddball, but it's not because I want to be. It's something inside of me, Lord, that just tugs at it. And when it hits me, Lord, I just want to drink more, and I just can't help myself. And I don't want to. I want more of it. Let each one of us tonight, God, reach out and grab a hold of you, because we know you're reaching down for us. You want us to have it more than we want it ourselves. So, Father, just come and be welcomed in our presence tonight. Oh, God, just let the fruit of our lips be unto you, Lord, as that sweet Savior, Lord. Come tonight, Lord, and bless the service and the singing and all these prayer requests, Lord. They've reached out to you, Lord. And we bind our faith together, Lord, as those men that let the fella down through the roof, Lord. How odd that would seem to most. But, Father, they had faith to let him down. And you healed him, Lord. So we cry out to you tonight, Lord, with everything that's in our heart. There's nothing more that we could do but just cry out from our hearts, God. Come, Lord, and be welcomed in our presence. That's our prayer. Come, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Yes,
Amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you want to come tonight, receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that will be streaming the service, we pray the service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing an old song of the church tonight. When we all get to heaven, contrary to what a lot of us believe, it's going to be more than this group right here that'll be there. We're going to be surrounded by people we've never met. When we all get to heaven, I want everybody to go, don't you? I want everybody to go. Somebody say, I want everybody to go. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Streets of gold, when we all get to heaven, what a day, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Yes, we will. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that little song tonight as we get ready to have Brother Caleb come and give us a song. Brother Caleb, if you come on to the platform. Aren't you glad for this one thing? That He loves you in spite of you sometimes. He loves you when you look at yourself as a complete failure, a complete mess up. He sees the finished product. He started something in you. He's not going to give up on you. He's going to finish it. Are you glad you can see a finish line for you? Can you say amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. He looked beyond my fault and He saw my need. And He alone could supply that need. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's sing that tonight. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died for you. God bless you. As you're seated tonight, give Brother Caleb a nice hand as he gets ready to sing for us.
I can count the million times people asking me how I can praise you with all that I've gone through. The question just amazes me. Can circumstances possibly change who I forever am in you? Maybe since my life was changed, long before these rainy days, it's never really ever. never crossed my mind to turn my back on you, oh Lord, my only shelter from the storm. But instead, I draw closer through these times. So I pray, bring me joy, bring me peace, bring the chance to be free. Bring me anything that brings you glory. And I know there'll be days when this life brings me pain, but if that's what it takes to praise you, Jesus, bring the rain. I am yours regardless of the clouds that may loom above, because you are much greater than my pain. You made a way for me, suffering your destiny. So tell me, what's a little rain? So I pray, bring me joy, bring me peace, bring the chance to be free. Bring me anything that brings you glory. And I know there'll be days when this life brings you pain, but if that's what it takes to praise you, Jesus, bring the rain. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Is the Lord God Almighty.
Bring the word of the Lord to us tonight. You appreciate your pastor. I know you do. I know you do. Let's give the Lord. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Amen. We appreciate men of truth. Men of truth. We appreciate them, don't we? Somebody say it's the truth. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Harry. Brother Donnie gets ready to come. You start it, and we'll just join in. We don't have the, I don't think we got the words. So I'm not sure if we do or not.
Brother Eric, can you look and say, if we need you, Lord, Brother David is going to put it in.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Lift our hands, we bow our knees, and worship at your throne. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now.
Sing it again, if you will, church.
Children, don't we need him?
We lift our hands, we bow our knees, and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right.
Truly, Heavenly Father, we need you now more than ever in our lives. I look across this place tonight and I see saints of God that have been living for you for decades and decades of their life. There's younger people here that maybe haven't been serving you that long. But no matter what age we fit into, with the times that's around us, the darkness that's pressing. The world is shaking. The ring of fire, Lord, in the Pacific, 69 earthquakes just last week. Getting ready, we know. Rumbling up and down the San Andreas. But Lord Jesus, our hope, our confidence, our trust is not in man or his great machines to be able to predict this and that and the other. Our hope is in you. We need you right now, Lord Jesus. Oh, we've needed you in so many different situations in our lives. But dear God, we need you now more than ever before. And we're so grateful that whenever we do need you, you will be there. Hallelujah. Lord, as we come together again on Saturday night, we're so grateful to be able to assemble together here. To hear your word, to sing, to worship. We just come with expectation in our hearts. We don't know what you'll do. We don't know. You may fill with the Holy Ghost. You may perform a miracle. You may save a lost man, woman, boy, or girl. You might reach out on the internet somewhere and touch somebody that's right at the point of death. We don't know what you'll do. We don't know what you have in your mind for this service. But we do want you to know we've come expecting great things. Your prophet told us to ask for big things and ask for a lot of them. So, Lord, we figure that we're living way beneath our privileges. And our mentality, we think we wear you out by just asking over and over and over again. But it gives you great pleasure. You told us to ask much that our joys would be full. Once again, would you help us tonight in this service, Father? Speak to us your great, wonderful words. Words of life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Well, let's just sing that once more. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Everybody know. He knows what you need. You may not even know yourself. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. And what are we going to do? We lift our hands. We bow our knees. We worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Once again, everybody. Oh, we need you, Lord. Right now, oh Jesus, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I'm gonna lift my hands, I'm gonna bow my knees. And worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right now. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give him a little praise. He's worthy, oh my. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Isn't it be good in the house of the Lord? Amen. So wonderful to be gathered together with the saints of God under the auspices of the revealed word of this hour. Amen. Amen. Let's turn, if you would, to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. We've been speaking about the little fox of discouragement for several services. I think this is about 14 on little foxes. But tonight we'd like to approach it from just a little different way. Instead of going fox hunting, what we'd actually like to do is, by the help of the Lord, get it over to us how we want to come against this fox of discouragement. What do we do whenever we become discouraged and down and weary? And how do we deal with that little guy? Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now we'll jump from there to the panoply, it is called in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, this is the Greek word for the armor of the Christian here, panoply. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You won't be able to do it with just a helmet. You won't be able to do it with just your feet covered. You're going to have all of it. Let's read those two verses again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might?
His.
Not yours. Forget yours. Lay it aside. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. May the Lord bless his words. You may be seated. So if we're going to fight that little fox, and we're going to, what are we going to use to be able to fight him with? If he's a discouraging fox, and we've looked at many aspects, and you know already that we could go on that one little fox for no doubt months and months and months. But I felt in my heart from the Lord to go a little different direction with it. So if we're going to fight him, what are we going to use to be able to fight him with? Well, you'd say, well, we're going to use the word, Brother Donnie. Well, I agree with that. And we're going to use prayer. I agree with that. There's many things that God has given to his people to be able to war against discouragement. But really, what I'd like to focus on tonight is one specific thing, and that is encouragement. So if we become discouraged with things of life, ourselves, I'm probably my greatest disappointment, me and people that I deal with, I can never honestly say before you and God tonight is my witness that I've ever been at one time in my life, all the years that I have served him, that I have been discouraged with God and that I wanted to turn and walk away from God. Now, I've been plenty discouraged with me. I've been plenty discouraged with people. But I have never one time in my life ever been discouraged with God to where that I said to God, God, I've got a problem with you. God, you don't keep your word. God, you're not real. God, you're not a supernatural God. Nope, I've never been there. And if you have, well, you know what? I pray for you. You pray for me. But for me, I've never been there because I honestly see no fault in him at all. I see no fault to me. People who get there, their problem is still their self and not God anyway. Because if they'll be honest, they cannot say that God has ever failed them. They cannot say that they haven't seen God move time and time and time again. But it's how they interpret it, how they look at it, and through the battles of their mind and so on. But myself, I become greatly discouraged with people. I become discouraged with the things that's going on around us, just like you do every day of our lives. And become discouraged with myself. But discouraged with him? No, no, never been discouraged with him. Never have I ever been to the spot that I ever wanted to say, well, you know what, I'm going to give up on God. I think I'm going to go out and get drunk, smoke me a cigarette, and do whatever more. I'm sorry, I can't relate to you if you have. Because when I fell in love with him, I fell in love with him from my soul and not my spirit. Now, had it been only my spirit, you can fall in and out of love with God if it goes no deeper than your body. goes no deeper than your spirit. But if it ever moves in your soul and seals your soul to the day of redemption, there is no more falling in love, falling out of love, falling in love, falling out of love. Nope. Them days are over. You will never be a sinner again. You will never, ever, ever want to go back to the things of the world. I'm talking about from your soul now, because you have passed from death unto life. Right. So the people who's in those sort of states, still, it's not God. It's their own walk with God. It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with them. It's their shortcomings. They never went far enough. They didn't get what they thought they had, or they only settled for an emotion or a sensation or whatever more. But if you ever get it right in your soul, friend, there is no question the desire for sin is absolutely annihilated from your soul. There is no resurrection of that old nature once he is dead. Praise the Lord. But do we become discouraged then? Can people like that become discouraged with things that are around them? Sure, every day. Can they become discouraged with people? Yes. With church? Yes. With politics? With the world? With the economy? Absolutely. With health in your body? With all kinds of other things. So saints of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, still have to fight discouragement. Now, everybody's different according to the way they deal with it, you know, an optimist or a pessimist, and we'll get to that maybe tomorrow. But everybody according to their own makeup, Satan will style the battles and the things that you and I go through according not to our strengths, but according to our weaknesses. So when God knew that man fell from the garden in his position that God placed him in, he knew that man would have an element of tolerance by which the man would be able to survive. Had God made the man only for the state of perfection, Adam would not have lived a week after the fall, because the stress of living after that kind of a place with God would have killed the man. He'd had a nervous breakdown. He'd never been able to live. So as God made the earth with the tolerance to be able to tilt on its axis 22.5 degrees, so God made man so man would be able to walk in perfection, yet after the fall tilt also, and still be able to survive under an extreme amount of stress and pressure. Had he not done that, the human race would have been annihilated. Now, it doesn't mean we like it. It doesn't mean we choose to go that way, but it means that it is what it is. Now, God knowing all of that, God also made a remedy for us dealing in the time of the tilt, which is where we are. The earth is in the time of the tilt, and the time of the tilt, God gave the earth 4 spheres or 4 seasons by which the earth would be able to rock back and forth, temperature change, atmospheric pressure, all that sort of thing. And God knew that it would do that. If not, then the earth would have spun when it went 22.5 degrees out, tilted on its axis. It would have spun out of orbit, totally disintegrated and annihilated, but that's not possible since it's one of God's attributes. So God knew this when he made the earth, that he made it, of course, beautiful, made it perfect, sublime, wonderful, all of that. But he also made it with this element that would be alive when it tilted over, and he done the human being the same way. So the child of God becomes now rejuvenated, reborn again by the Spirit of God. Their soul is straight up in line again with the harmony of the poles, the way that it should have been from the foundation of the world. But their bodies, their spirit, the world, the atmosphere, the environment that they live in is still on this warped, tilted axis. And actually the earth, you don't feel it tonight. She's spinning 25,000 miles an hour out there on the earth, and yet it's amazing we're not all slung off and we're not all seasick. Here we are sitting on top of it, and gravity keeps us there. But yet she's made so you don't see it and you don't recognize it, but actually she's wobbling as she tilts. Now the poles, according to the axis and the poles and the weight, the way they lay. But if God had not have set it in such a way, but God put an assistant out beyond her, which was called the moon. Now the moon giving this gravitational pull actually helps the earth. If not, the earth would be like a top, that the earth tilted over on her axis and she'd go to spinning, 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 and before long the circumference of the earth should become top heavy. She'd spin, 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 and then she'd go to spinning out on the universe and she'd go into a black hole or annihilate. But the mercy of God placed a helper out in another orbit, which is the moon. Well, praise the Lord. Don't you love it?
Now, the moon, of course, God made her core out of all these great metals by which would have a great magnetic pull. And God put it out there being very, very close as far as space would be concerned, so that they would be able to pull upon the earth. Knowing that the earth would be coming out of this, that she would toddle like this, and she would warp, and she would spin around. But God placed the moon there to help pull the earth. And when the earth would go to spin it, that the church, I mean the moon, would help the earth stay in line. This is why you need to go to church. Because the moon is the church, or the church represents the moon. Now, whenever God placed her there, God absolutely knowing that one day the earth would stand upright again in the stage of perfection whenever God brought her back to the place he wanted her to be. But God knew that she would exist for many thousands of years in this tilted type of situation. Does she become, as far as earthly, does she become weary with storms? We know that creation does. We know that nature does. It's actually groaning, longing for the day when the sons of God will be manifested. And it's the same with us. So the earth, if you can imagine it, the earth actually receives encouragement by divine prophecies of God coming to pass. Each one of them brings her closer and closer to her time when she'll stand back up again like God made her in the beginning. Now, whenever you and I then receive bursts of encouragement from the Spirit of God, it simply helps us in our tilt. Now, it does not bring us all the way back up. Okay, praise God, the Lord helped me, and I got such a blessing out of that service whenever war, and I listened to a tape, and I read my Bible, and I heard this song, and it helped me so much. But you know as well as I do, it may help you today, and you may feel down tomorrow. Why? Because you're still in this tilted situation, and you're affected by the things that are around you. Is this right? We're affected by the things that we have no control over. And when we really look at it, those are a lot of the things that affect us so much. And, you know, it's sad to say, but Satan actually convinces us that we should worry and fret and get all upset. And a lot of the things that we worry and fret over are things that our worry does not even change anyway. Our worry has no virtue in it whatsoever, and the devil knows it. But he knows we cannot worry and be happy at the same time. So you absolutely forfeit your happiness when you are down and depressed. Is anybody going to preach to me tonight? When you are down and depressed and weary and all upset, there's no way that you can be happy at the same time you're weary. How many's happy tonight? Well, let your face know it. Watch this now. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord thy God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Now, when God says this, whether Old or New Testament, it is signs prefiguring that there's going to be things that will try to bring you to a state of discouragement. And I love it about the Lord, because sometimes when we're not even going through difficult times, the Lord will forerun us. And I've seen some of you come in and sit down and say, well, that wasn't for me tonight. I didn't really need that. I'm really doing good. You didn't know God was getting you ready for next week. You see, God don't only just do that when you're going through stuff, but God will forerun you and give you a lot of ammo. And so whenever you go through it, you ought to be mindful. Lord Jesus, thank you. You just had the man of God to preach that Saturday night. You knew what I was going to face. Why? He's mindful of us. Now, God now telling the people, don't be afraid, but I want you to go on in and take the land. Now, watch this. Moses is fixing to go home in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 5. And the Lord shall give them before thy face, speaking of the enemies. God's going to give them up. God's going to let you take them and destroy them, that they may do unto them according to all the commandments which I commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now God is fixing to take Moses off of the scene. And God is now going to leave this message of encouragement, because you imagine now, it would have been alive and Brother Branham was here, and God would have taken him off the scene, probably a few folks were. And yet you can imagine how the people must have felt, because in their mind they had all these different ideas of what they thought was going to happen. And Brother Branham was here one day and the next day he's gone. And what are we going to do? Who's going to be our leader? And which way are we going to go? You can imagine now with a man of this caliber and by Moses that God's going to take them in. So fear grabs a hold of their heart. Human discouragement, all kinds of things. What are we going to do now? Which way will we go? Joshua's not the man Moses was. Joshua doesn't have the supernatural the way Moses did. Joshua's not got the credentials that Moses had. Well, that's true. He didn't have what Moses had, but he didn't need them because he had a different job. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. But yet Joshua had what the people needed for that dispensation they were living. Now listen to me, saints. The men of God on the earth today preaching the message of the hour, they are not the same caliber of men as Brother Branham and never will be. They don't have the visions, the supernatural, so on and so on and so on. But yet they have what is needed for the body for the time that we're living in. If every man needed to have the same anointing as Brother Branham, then every man would have that. But you know the reason they don't? Because we don't need 4,587 Brother Branhams on the earth. We had one, and that's all we need. Then God takes out from that, and he anoints out of that the men of God that are needed for this hour. Well, praise the Lord. It's not going to be a great thing where everybody's going to notice it and miracles is going to be published like it was in the days of Brother Branham or Jack Cole or A. Allen. We're not in that time frame. Yet miracles and signs and wonders are happening right among us. But we don't print it. We don't go out and we share it with one another. And some of you were wanting miracles. Oh my goodness. And you wonder if God is moving or not. Oh yeah, he's moving. He's doing mighty things. But don't look at it for like to be it was in the 50s and the 60s. Because that's not where we are. We're in the time of our possession in the inheritance of the promise of God. Amen. And the church said. Notice again now, Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go before thee, will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Verse 7, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all of Israel. Now notice, be strong and of a good courage. I guarantee you this man needed to hear this message. Joshua needed to hear this encouraging message. Why? Because this little fox of discouragement is going to hit him over and over and over again. And how is God going to pre-prepare this man before he ever even steps into vocation that God's called him to be? God's going to give him sermons that's going to pre-run or forerun the battles that he's going to go through. And God's going to tell him to be encouraged. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Oh, praise God. You believe that? Wonder how many times he had to fall back on this. How many times you got to fall back on what God told you in his word. Notice in verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doeth go before thee. Why is God repeating himself? Is God getting old now and God's got a touch of Alzheimer's and he don't remember what he said? It's not God that needs it repeated, it's us. We said, Brother Donnie, you preached something along this line back in 1993. Really, has it been that long? You know what? I say if I'm preaching another 10 years or 5 years or whatever more, you'll hear me preach other sermons about encouragement and about faith and about taking your stand for the Word of God. Why? Because it's things we need to hear. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give to them. And thou shalt, not maybe, not perhaps, based upon condition, you're going to do it. You're going to cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. What's he using, Brother Terry, to encourage these people? His unfailing presence. Hey, friend, if he goes with us, what more can we ask for? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If President Trump joins us with it, President Trump don't even know who he is. He don't know what he is. Lord, have mercy on us. Heaven's such a leader. We thought the last one we had was bad. Well, come on now. There ain't no hope for our nation. I don't care who gets in there. I don't care if it's Trump or Bump or Thump or nobody. It don't make no difference. Our nation is gone. Our world is gone. Oh, if all the Democrats can get on our side. I don't want all the Democrats on our side. Or the Republicans on our side. If the Lord is on our side, we are more than able to face whatever we go through. Praise God. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31:23, he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong. Is Joshua hard-headed? Has Joshua got such a short memory that God has to keep telling him this and Moses has to repeat it over and over again? And we think we're so deep that we don't need good encouraging sermons. There's something wrong with our understanding of depth. That's right. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. The very same thing, almost word for word, that he said a few chapters prior to this. Why? Why repeat yourself, God? Because Joshua needs to hear it. I don't know about you. I need to hear from my Lord that he still loves me. I need to hear from my Lord, Brother Frank, that he's still concerned. That he's not all mine. He's not going to throw me away because I fall and make mistakes and fall short of the glory of God. That he still loves me just as much as he did. He cares for me just as much as he did. And furthermore, he'll love me through eternity. I don't know about you. That encourages me. Notice again, God speaking to Moses about Joshua. Deuteronomy 1:38. But Joshua the son of Nun which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him. Encourage him. Encourage him. For he shall cause Israel to inherit it. So here God is giving instruction to the prophet to encourage the ministry that's going to take the bride in. So I wonder what kind of false prophet it is that cries to get the ministers to sit down. Well, I'm going to say it whether you say amen or not. It's a false prophet. It's a false teacher. Amen, Brother Donnie. Praise the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 28. But charge Joshua and encourage him. So how was Joshua going to fight the little fox of discouragement? I don't know if I can do it or not. I don't know. By encouragement. Encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Now God's fixing to show Moses the land, but he says you're not going over, but I want you in your prophetic office, I want you to substantiate in the mind of Joshua he is going in. I want you to get it over to Joshua that he will not fail. He will take the people in, encourage him, strengthen him, give him the word, tell him everything he needs before you leave so he can fall back on it and remember them quotes. Imagine how many times old Joshua quoted the prophet of God over and over and over again, because them quotes about encouragement. All people don't like us reading quotes. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to read them. I tell you, I love them myself. They bring me encouragement. They bring me whipping when I need it. They bring me sustenance spiritually. Come on, saints. Why? Because to me it's the word of the Lord. Amen. Notice Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. There shall not any man. Lord, are you sure? There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What's God given him? To fight the little fox of discouragement. Encouragement. Now, this is not a great mystery. It's not some type of universal law that God's going out there and telling him oxygen is this and that and the other. It has to do with him and his position and what he's going to do. After all, isn't that what we're here for? So if you understand the chemistry of the ocean and you're able to pull together all the great scientific equations of how God done this and that and the other, what's that got to do with you unless you're a biochemist? Probably most of you is closer to being biopolar than biochemist. So you might ought to get that which helps you. Leave science to God. Amen. Oh my, look at verse 6. Be strong and of a... Wow. Good courage. So there's courage that isn't good? Now think of it. Satan will try to encourage us in the way of wrong. He will try to encourage you to do things wrong. But we don't want that kind of encouragement. We want good courage. That's bad encouragement. How many of us have been talked into doing things when we was kids, and not only kids, but as adults? We've been talked into doing things by other people and wound up getting us in trouble. What was Satan using? Them individuals to encourage us to do wrong. Why? Because sometimes we're not just willing to do wrong. Well, I don't know. I really don't think I ought to do that. No. And Satan will do what? He'll have somebody that has an effect over you or an influence over you, and they will encourage you to sin. But God told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide. You're not only going to take them into it. You're going to see this thing through, boy. You're going to divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Oh no, here we go again. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Verse 18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. And then here goes God again with this little sermonette. Only be strong and be of good courage. Now, if you heard God telling your leader, me, you heard God kept telling me to be encouraged. Be strong, Donnie. Be of good courage. Be encouraged, Donnie. Would some of you consider that I was a weak leader? This is the greatest general God ever had. Stonewall Jackson was second next best. Next to Joshua. So you mean strong leaders need to be encouraged? Oh, why is it that we look at it as a sign of weakness? Because we don't know our Bible, that's why. Amen. We've got in our mind, boy, if a man's a deep man, he don't ever need to hear a sermon like that. Well, I guess not. If you ain't fighting the devil, if you ain't causing no trouble, then hell ain't against you. But if hell's against you, hell's going to fight you, and you're going to need to hear these sermons on encouragement. That's just the way it works. Notice, now God keeps telling him over and over again, he shall be put to death, only be strong and be of good courage. Chapter 10, verse 24. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near. Now you remember this story when they went up and went against them, one camp after another, and they brought these kings and put them in a cave. And they didn't kill them then. Joshua had a purpose for letting them live. So Joshua brought some of the men of Israel and said, come on over, boys. This one's for you all. Amen. Now we could have killed them. We could have already took their life. But I want some of you Israelites. I want some of you brothers. I want some of you captains. I want some of you fathers. I want some of you businessmen to come over here and put your foot on the neck of your enemy. Because this ain't just a preacher move. This ain't just a prophet move. It's a bride move. Let me tell you something. This ain't just a prophet move of Brother Brown. This ain't just a preacher move of the fivefold ministry. It is a move of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. God wants to see some of you put your foot on the neck of your enemy and let the sword of the Holy Ghost kill that devil. So notice these men gather around. He said, fear not,
oh my, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. Now he's preaching what God preached to him. He's got it. He's got it. It took him a bunch of series on it, but he finally got it. Now he can see the value. He might not have known the scientific part about it, of thinking negative thoughts and how it releases the chemistry in your brain. He might not have understood that negative thoughts have such a power in the releasing of your body, and you turn it right back around, and positive thoughts have such a release of endorphins in your body, it actually makes your brain want to feel good. All he knew was it helped him. Forget endorphins and serotonin and melatonin and all them tonin boys. He didn't know nothing about all them tonin fellas. All he knew was it helped him when God said, be of good courage. Now watch, Joshua's old. Joshua 23:5. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and you shall possess the land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be therefore. Oh my. Isn't that amazing? God never did tell him to be very. Now courageous just took a higher step. Oh glory. Be courageous, Joshua. Be courageous, Joshua. Now Joshua has got this message. It's so my embedded down in his soul. And now he's preaching the very thing that God preached to him. And he said, be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from to the right hand or to the left. The minister got the truth of encouragement. And now he can encourage the people. I'll tell you one thing, friend. You take a preacher that's all down and out and all down and out. He may be reading the quotes to you about being encouraged, but if it's not a revelation to him, it'll never be a revelation to you. Because all he's doing is repeating a bunch of words. I'm afraid that's what we've got standing behind the pulpit in many churches. It's evident by some of them that's backsliding and going away from this word in the first place. They wasn't born again anyhow. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. So what do you use when you get down and discouraged? You get out your favorite remote and you get your favorite video game and you're going to punch it. Watch the children of Benjamin. Judges chapter 20 verse 21. The children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. The men of Israel encouraged themselves with what? So 22,000 of your brothers are killed. But you encourage yourself. What do you use? Funerals? Funeral flowers? Condolences to all these wives. Condolences to these children who've lost their fathers. That had a lot to be sad about, Brother Phil. According to God's word, there wouldn't be one enemy that would stand up against them unless there was a problem somewhere. Notice this. And the people of the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place. So they put themselves in array the first day. So after losing 22,000 men, they go out and they try to regroup that night. And maybe they talk about the blessings of God. And we've got to do this. We don't want to do this. But there's sin that's crept into the camp. God help us. Oh God, give us a great victory. And that was a great rally. My, they must have been singing songs. And they must have been worshiping. And oh, we know tomorrow is going to be different. And it was. The next day, they lost 18,000. And God was the one who told them to go up and go against these men. You mean
God told them to, and they still wound up losing 18,000 men. Praise the Lord. Hey, friends, we're talking about 40,000 just on the one side being lost in 2 days' time. But then on the third day, God told them, go out. You remember the story of your Bible readers as they went out and they put liars in wait. And they went outside of the city and they drew them out. Whenever they come out so far, they took off running. The children of Benjamin thought, they said, the Lord has given to us as before. And when they went out, the liars in wait went into the city and they destroyed them. Almost annihilated the tribe of Benjamin. But I wonder if this story would not go differently if these men had not encouraged themselves even in their losses. You see, it's easy for us to encourage ourselves in great gains. Oh my, we're doing good financially. I'll tell you what, we're just blessed, blessed, blessed. Why, it's a loved word in this day, isn't it? Blessed, blessed, blessed. Oh my, we've got so much peace and we've got this and that and the other and our business is doing good and our home is doing good. But what about when you lose? What about when you have some losses? What about when you pray and it seems like God don't answer? Oh, it's easy to praise Him when miracles are happening. It's easy to pray Him whenever you pray today and God answers it tomorrow. But what if you lose a few? Do you know how to encourage yourself in the time of great loss? Praise the Lord. Can I go on? Let's move to one of our favorite characters of the scripture, that is David. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire, and had taken the women captives, and they that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. So David is fighting the battle for the Lord. And when David and his men come back home, their wives are gone, their children are gone, and their city is burned to the ground. In fighting for God? I'll tell you one thing, that'd be a lot to discourage you, wouldn't it? Oh, but the story ain't done yet, you say. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now they fought and fought and fought, and they come back and find their city this way, and they weep and they cry until these men are down on the ground. They're just down on the ground, and they're so weak, Brother Jim, they can hardly muster up enough strength to do anything. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. So now you fought for God, you've come back, your wives are gone, your men's wives are gone, your children are gone, and you're so weak yourself, and the men you have fought with are now talking among their little cliques, I think we need to stone David. I think we've been under his leadership long enough. I believe we need to kill him. Now it's one thing when you're fighting this type of battle and the men are standing with you. But when everybody turns against you. Oh my. Notice why though. And David was greatly distressed for the people because they spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. Oh, I love the way the writer of the book here gave us the reason why they said this. This was not from their heart. This was not from their innermost being. It was motivated because of such loss. That's why we say foolish, stupid stuff sometimes. When we get so stressed out and we get so grieved and so tore up and we go to rattling right here. Come on now, saints. And we go to rattling and then we don't mean it a bit more than nothing. Aren't you glad God's merciful whenever we go to saying stupid stuff like that? Yes, The soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, none of the captains, you know, we don't know how many that there was. The scripture doesn't give an account or a number of them. But David didn't find no help, no strength in any of his commanders, any of the generals that was around him. But David, amen. David encouraged himself and the Lord is God. Friends, do you know how to do this? Do you, as an individual, not whenever you get in trouble and you call me, not when you get in trouble, and I want you to do that. Don't misunderstand me. I want you to do that. But what if you get to this cop to straight somewhere, and I'm in Africa somewhere. I'm in India. I'm in China. Do you know how to encourage yourself in the Lord your God? Call the deacons. Call the preachers. Yes, do that. But know within yourself, I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I know my position in the Word. Notice this. David encouraged himself. This is how he done it though. In the Lord his God. Wonder if David, Brother Jim, used, oh my, when the prophet of God come to him and anointed him with oil and gave him the word of the Lord. You will do thus and so and thus and so and thus and so. Wonder if he didn't go back to the quotes of the prophet of God, telling him what he was and what his position was. He had to find something, Brother Phil, that would be able to substantiate his faith. He couldn't look to his brothers. He couldn't look to his wives. He couldn't look to the men around him. He had to have a foundation that was sure. If David ever needed him, he needed him right now. Oh, you imagine David said, oh God, I don't know what to do. But David found his position in the Word. Wait a minute. I don't understand why this is going on. I'm fighting these battles for the Lord. I'm not trying to do this for some selfish motive. Lord, why is my wives gone? Why is my children gone? The wives of all of my men. What in the world's happening, Lord? I don't understand it. But I know God is still God. And I know I am still His chosen. So encouraged himself in the Lord. Not the God of Elijah. Not the God of Jeremiah. Not the God of Moses. But in the Lord his God. Notice this. David received such strength. Now watch David as he passes this understanding on down to Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28:20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong. You fathers want to leave your children an inheritance? Forget money. You want to buy them a bunch of property. Well, I'm going to leave each of my kids this, that, and the other. Leave them something of eternal value. Show your children what a real man can do. A man that can trust God. A man that can have courage. A man that can be strong. A man that can have integrity and have character. Any member of the mafia can leave their kids a lot of money. We're not interested in the mafia. We're interested in belonging to Christ. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. Now he's telling him, you're going to build the house of God. I love the way he says this. Be strong and be of good courage and do it. Wow. Let me tell you, Happy Valley, be strong and be of good courage and do it. Do what? What God's called you to do. Be a housewife, be a farmer, be a factory worker, whatever it is, just do it for the glory of God. Amen. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Notice in 2 Chronicles 35:1. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them. Josiah was a king. So the king encourages the ministry. You know who the greatest discouragement is for a pastor? His people. Because he preaches one way, gives his entire life for them.
You know, they do whatever they want to do, live however they want to live. It's like you've done, it ain't worth nothing to them. You understand, I give a portion of my life every time I stand here. Every time I stand here, and this is only the light side. You don't even see the hours that I've spent in preparation of bringing this to you. Not only me, but every man that stands here. And then people, I don't care if I go to church. Now, why say we go to Walmart? It don't matter. Saturday night, I'm getting tired of church on Saturday night. That's apparent. Some folks are. But as long as the majority of y'all want to have church on Saturday, I say we have it. What y'all say? Folks would rather go here and there and do this and that. That's up to them. They want it up. As long as I've got strength, as long as the majority of you want to have it, I say we come have church. Well, Brother Donnie, I'd have it. I'd be all right having it once a week. I'll tell you one thing. I need to go to church more than once a week. Brother Donnie, are you that weak? No, it ain't that I'm that weak. I went 9 times the last 2 weeks ago. I could have went a few more times. When God saved me, He saved me to go to church. Once a month ain't enough for me. Once a week ain't enough. I love getting in His presence. I love getting with you all. I love singing. I love worshiping. I love praying. I love shouting a little bit, dancing a little bit in the Holy Ghost. I love to go to the house of God. It brings me encouragement. Now let's change our scene now from Josiah. And we'll go to a brush pile. Move with me now to the brush pile. Okay, so now we have three characters here in this brush pile. We have a skunk. We have a dog. And we have a hunter. The hunter's name is Branham. The dog's name is Fritz. And the skunk's name won't matter because he's fixing to be got. The Fritz does not like the skunk. Understandable? Any of y'all like skunks? The smell of them and the way they're done? Yeah, you imagine. You don't like them at a distance. Can you imagine if you're on the back end of that thing? When it's fixing to be shot right in your face. But here you've got Mr. Branham. Billy Branham. He's on the other side. Now he wanted to get that pelt to be able to sell that. So he says, Fritz, get him. Get him, boy. Now he didn't want to. He didn't like the smell. He didn't like dealing with that at all. You know, rabbits are a lot softer. They don't stink near as bad. You know, if you're going to sit down with Brother Branham, sit down, Brother Branham, please now. Come on now. You understand what you asked me to do? Have you ever had this in your face? Do you know what it's like? It makes you so sick you can't hardly stand it. It takes weeks and weeks, and he can still, no doubt, but all he heard was, now no doubt that if Fritz had a head and brain going on, oh, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But he heard the voice of his master, get him, boy. Get him. And Brother Branham likened that, likened me to Fritz and you to him. So we do see who the dog is. And he likened that, you telling the dog to get the devil. He said, the biggest stinker I know of is the devil. So when the preacher gets up to preach, then there you are, Brother Branham, and you're saying, get him, boy. Get him, boy. Go ahead. You got intrigue. Get him. Get him that brush pile. But I wonder what Fritz would have done if Brother Branham would have done like some of y'all did. Fritz understood one thing. He was not a nodder. He understood vocal feedback. What did it do? It encouraged him. You honestly think I love getting in trouble? Do you think I love being one of the most controversial preachers in the message? Do you think I love preaching things that I know is going to get me crucified? Got my life threatened. Over and over again. But it ain't very encouraging. Whenever I get death threats, whenever I get all kinds of things, and I come preach to you on y'all set. Man, I hope he hurries. Man, my belly's growling. I'm going to go to the Dairy Queen and get me one of them s'mores blizzards. I'm going to hop over to Chick-fil-A and get me one of them chicken sandwiches. Yeah, I'm going to make you hungry and a dog. You're going to be slobbered. Praise the Lord. It was just a little bit of encouragement. Where's he at? Where's he at? Where's that devil at? Where's he at? California, you know, just tried to pass this past week, and it'll probably start sweeping the nation, that it'll be against the law for churches, preachers, counselors to preach against homosexuality and to try to counsel people who are homosexuals against their sexual choice, against the law. Oh, Brother Donnie, what do we do? Nothing. We go right on the same. I might need a little louder amens, but we still go on the same. The laws don't change us. What they push don't change us. We believe what God's Word said. And he sent the priests and their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord, and said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were unto the holy and to the Lord, put the ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. Now remember, this had all fallen apart. The worship was all gone. The Levites was living ungodly lives. Oh my. And you're the king. Thank God for a godly king like this one. And he encouraged the men of God. Come on now. We need you all. We need you all. This man was enough to know he couldn't do it. Praise the Lord. He knew he couldn't step in the office of a priest because he wasn't called to do it. But it was his place to encourage those who were called to. Amen. Some of you ain't called to preaching. You never will. But I'll tell you what part of your charge is. Encourage those who are called. Brother Eric, let's jump down to Psalms 27:14. Watch. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Acts 28:13, and from thence we fetched the compass and came to Regia. And after one day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli. And when we found brethren, we desired to tarry with them 7 days, and we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us afar. Amen. As far as the Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took. Amen. Took courage. Look at this word, took. Receive. Take with the hand. Lay hold on. Take what is one's own. So you mean it didn't fall out of heaven, hit him in the head in a silver platter? He had to take it. Do you know how to take courage? So here, seeing the saints of God encourage this prophet, a man who'd been carried up into the third heaven, a man who'd heard things that was not even lawful for a human being to utter, a man who'd walked with God in such a sphere, and yet seeing the faces of saints of God, human beings like precious believers, it encouraged him, and he took courage. Praise God. You know, God uses sometimes some of the most simple things to encourage us. Can I have a few more minutes on close? Watch it. Brother Bram said, I was preaching one day in an arena in a football stadium. As I went in, I seen a little sign. Always, always encourage me. So it wasn't one of them one-time deals. You know, we've had that where one time you hear a song, or it just blesses you, and the next time you hear it and say, I'm not sure why I even like that song. But there's certain things that it just sticks with you. That's the way this sign was. Had a big sign there that said, it's not the size of the dog and the fight, it's the size of the fight and the dog. Amen. Well, what book and chapter is that out of in the Bible? You mean God will use simple things like this? Friends, he wants us to be encouraged so much. He can use a church sign as you drive by to work in a Baptist church. They don't believe it maybe themselves, but you drive by and you say, oh, glory to God. I just made your day. Amen. God can do so many wonderful little things. Why? To encourage us as His people. It ain't how timid you are, what you are, brother. Rise up. It ain't what you are. It's what Christ is that's in you. What the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, you say my neighbors will laugh at me if I got saved. Get Christ in there and see how you can talk to your neighbor. See how your life will change. Notice second-handed road. This is the Branham Tabernacle. I heard the pastor say this morning, many are becoming discouraged. What we need, brother. Listen to this deep revelation, saints. Hold on, everybody. Are you ready? Tell me when you're ready. You ready? Okay, here we go. Here we go. What we need, brother, is... Y'all didn't think that as deep as I did. Y'all just sat there and looked at that like it was just so. Do you understand what that means? If you can do that, take courage. What we need is to be encouraged. That's right. Trials may come. We're never promised to be immune from them, but He will give grace to go through them. If the mountain's too high to go over, too deep to go under it, too wide to go around it, He'll give grace to go through it. Praise God. That's right. Just don't worry. Keep your eyes on Christ, for He's the only one that can take us through. Praise God. Let me read another one in the Church Age book. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to you the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save that he receive it. Each message to each age holds out an incentive to the believer, encouraging him to be an overcomer and thereby be rewarded of the Lord. Can I have a few more minutes? You only got that much to do, not know it, do you? Notice Joshua 1:8 again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. At least three times a year, whether you need it or not. Oh my goodness. Day and night. That thou mayest observe. Notice now that thou mayest observe. That thou mayest observe. Meditation has to do with observation and obedience. Well, praise the Lord. Now notice that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written there. And for then shalt thou make thy way. Then shalt thou. You will make your way prosperous by meditating in the word. And then thou shalt have good success. Again, Psalms 1:2, but in His delight is, oh my, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Psalm 63:6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Psalm 77:12, I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. I'm not only going to meditate on your word, but I'm going to think about what you do. And I'm going to meditate on the way you do it. But what do we meditate on? And then we wonder why we're not more victorious and more encouraged. Preach, Brother Donnie. Come on now, Brother Branham. Sick old Fritz. Notice Psalms 119:48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. 143:5, I remember the days of old. I will meditate on thy works and muse. I muse on the work
of thy hands. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Upon his call. Upon God calling him. God having men of God to lay hands on him. Meditate on these things. It's going to help him. Encourage him. Now let me give you just a touch of an appetizer for in the morning. Let's look at how negative thinking affects your brain. A study in the Journal of Clinical Psychology studied the effects of worrying on performing a task. Subjects were required to sort things into two categories. People who reported that they worry 50% of the time or more showed a significant disruption in their ability to sort objects as the difficulty of the sorting the task increased. So Satan causes all this trouble around us and then causes us to worry about all the trouble he caused. And then we try to sort through it, and because of the trouble he caused with the worry that he caused us to have over the trouble he caused. And when we get ready to try to sort through it, we're not even sure what we're doing. You ever go in a room and think, what did I come in here for? You told on yourself. My goodness, some of you young people are nodding your head. And you just dumbfounded. You just walk in there and say, well, I like this room. This is really a nice room. So go ahead and face it. You're like all the rest of us. You just don't remember. You just don't remember. Can you imagine then Satan causing all this dilemma and then causing us to worry, and then we're faced, oh God, I've got to make a decision. I've got to make a decision. And the trouble plus the worry is going to confuse your decision-making ability. In a follow-up study, researchers found that they were able to show that demonstrated, notice this, that the disruption was a result of increased levels of negative thoughts. When the brain is faced with complex tasks, negative thinking hurts your ability to process information and think clearly. Thinking negatively about your problems not only doesn't help solve anything, it actually makes it harder for you to think of a helpful situation. That sounds just like the devil. He's the one who caused all this stuff, then tries to cause us to fret and worry, knowing that when he does that, it compounds the situation, and then we're just sitting there trying to figure it out, and it just makes it worse. And God says, hey, don't forget what I told you. Cast all your cares on me. No, God. Oh, God, I ain't got to worry about this. Let me have it. I can do it. I got this, God. I got it. God says, okay. Good luck. Your amygdala. Memory and negative thinking. If you have a tendency to overreact to stress, it could be due to changes in your brain brought on by negative thinking. Negative experiences are stored in the brain by the amygdala. The amygdala is also responsible for your brain's fight or flight response. The prefrontal cortex regulates your response to stressors. Someone who's faced with a stressful situation, like being in a traffic jam, normally assesses the level of threat to their safety and concludes that the threat is less than the annoyance factor and talks themselves through relaxing until it's over. But in this age, everybody's amygdala is blown up. They scramble their amygdala. In contrast, someone who's been previously exposed to stress that was life-threatening and suffering from PTSD might see the traffic jam as a threat to their safety. Oh, that'd be pretty much any of us anymore. Boy, traffic jams are. But notice, and they feel that they're under attack. They lack the ability to distinguish the true threat and the perceived stress and overreact. Now watch, then the thalamus on the inside of your brain, the thalamus is responsible to sending sensory and motor signals to the rest of the body, but it does not understand that negative thoughts aren't the same as real danger. So when you have negative thoughts and they're strong enough and consistent enough, it sends this to the thalamus, and the thalamus sends out this message, you're in danger, you're in danger, you're in danger.
And I'm just preaching and you're in danger. I mean, you're just...
Because your thalamus cannot tell this is just negative thoughts.
Lord have mercy, children.
When you think negative thoughts, the thalamus assumes that it needs to prepare the body to flee. As a result, our bodies experience real stress symptoms of rapid heartbeat, elevated blood pressure, and a state of heightened arousal.
Yep, they go to church at Happy Valley. I've seen all that.
Imagine just sitting quietly and suddenly having the physical symptoms of fear.
Any of y'all ever had that happen? And you look back at it and you think, I ain't gonna tell that to nobody. Now, if you've ever had a kidney stone before, and then all of a sudden you get a funny little twinge of pain, it can be anywhere from here down to your big toe, you will break out in a cold sweat and fear will grip you. I know some of you sitting there laughing, man, I hope you don't have to have one to be able to say amen to what I'm saying. Whether it's that or whatever it is, and fear sweeps over us, oh my goodness, and our body begins to respond, and we are living in this age that Satan has us triggered every day of our life. It's a grace of God. We're not all insane. Our bodies are living under such stress with releasing serotonin and cortisol and the stress factors in our body day in and day out. Let's stand. Your diagnosis will continue in the morning. You can sense your heart rate increase. Your breathing increases. You perspire and your blood pressure goes up. You start looking for the cause of the symptoms. But when there is no rational explanation for the fear, the response, it is the thalamus causing you to have a panic attack. You see why Satan don't want you to be encouraged? He wants you to be the king of panic attacks, or the queen of the stress factor, to where we're so stressed out. But I believe our God and His power is just as great today, Brother Terry, in this stressful age as it ever was. Don't you? Negative thoughts affect our brain by triggering this same stress response. Chronic stress affects the body physically and can have negative effects on our health and well-being. Now, many of you watch everything you eat. Oh, my. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't. You're scared to death of this chemical and that chemical and something. Oh, I'm taking something else in. I wonder if that's what's killing you or if it's not your negative thoughts. God don't love me. God don't care for me. I'm trash. I'm cannon fodder. I'll never amount to nothing. I agree with you. As long as you keep that trash in your head. Amen. Brother Donnie, you just don't know what I've done. I don't have to. I know what God's word said. My Bible tells me He forgives all of our sins. Either that means all or it don't mean all. Does it mean all? He's willing to accept us. All we got to do is come to Him and cast our cares on Him, for He cares for us. Or we can live in this stressful age. Oh, it won't affect your eternal life one bit. No, sir. It will not affect your eternal life. But you'll leave out of here with such a weak testimony that you barely hung on from day to day to day. I believe in healing, friends. But I believe in health. Oh my goodness, I'm going to make some of you mad. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. But Brother Donnie, we're in this, I know what we are, believe me, I know what we are. This is still God's word. He didn't say up to 1975. Even as your soul prospers. Now you may have to fight. Sure, everyone's going to have to fight to get it. But don't give in. Don't give in. Well, I've got to be sick. My daddy had this. My daddy had that. But your heavenly Father said you can have this. Well, praise the Lord. Are we going to be stress-free and worry-free? I'm not preaching that. I'm not an idiot. But I am preaching to you. It's a sin when we allow worry and stress to rob us of the joy of God. Amen. Some of you, by the way you act as if though the only thing Jesus done was purchase your salvation from hell. And the rest of it, he left you a miserable existence in time. Well, I'd preach that too if his word says it. But his word don't say it. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That's not just money. That's not new cars and new houses. Abundant life in Christ Jesus is walking where he wants us to walk. Peace that passes understanding. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wonder how many of us here tonight. Now, I know I've got the advantage of it. I've got a lot more laying here. But take my word for it. We'll get to it in the morning, Lord willing. But I wonder how many of you are dealing with things, even physically in your body, that you have allowed to come upon you because of worry and stress. And your body is simply responding the way God made it to respond on the tilted side of your humanity. Man never needed the thalamus to operate in this way. The amygdala, God never meant for Adam. Adam never had to use that in the Garden of Eden. The fight or flight part. He never had to use it. But after the fall, these things begin to kick into his anatomy. And God made him to worry that he would fight or flight. Do you run or can you whoop him? What do you do? And it's some hormones. That's not just in your mind. It's not thoughts. Your brain releases those hormones to energize you to do whatever you need to do. But with the age we're living in, and you look around, there ain't no bear, there ain't no varmint, there ain't nothing there, and yet you're all stressed out. Over what? Much of it over something you can't even change. But your body is reacting as if though a 9-foot grizzly was standing there in front of you with fingernails about that long and chomping on your neck. And a lot of it ain't nothing but a lie of the devil that you're worrying about. And that your body's releasing cortisol and releasing all these things. And you're killing yourself. And we look down on people that chew tobacco and smoke cigarettes and all that. Theirs is long term. You're doing the same thing to yourself. Brother Donnie, how can you say that? Because Brother Branham said worry causes cancer. Oh, sweet Jesus. Well, I said here Wednesday night, whoever get mad at me can buy me a steak. One of the brothers come up to me after church and want to know how I like my steak cooked. So I'll say tonight, whoever mad at me can buy me a lobster. I don't say these things to make you mad. I say it because I love you. As your shepherd, I want you to walk as high as God wants you to walk. It just breaks my heart when I see sheep going through so many things that in reality, I know they don't have to. But they opt to go through it. They bring things upon them that don't even have to be there. The prophet said that there's untapped resources. Can you imagine that we've never broke into? He said, can you imagine a little mouse being in the granaries of Egypt and saying, I better eat just one grain a day. Oh, this may run out. Or a little fish in the ocean thinking, I better drink this water sparingly. It may all be gone before I get old. He said, neither can you exhaust the blessings of God. Friends, you ain't going to need healing in the millennium. You ain't going to need peace in the millennium. Now's when you need it. Everybody's worry-free in the millennium and stress-free, except for them we have to kind of, you know, usurp authority over. But the bride will be worry-free and stress-free. Now's when we need to tap into the resources. Right now. Right now, in God's great promises. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Do you know how to encourage yourself? Do you know how to live a life that stress will come, but you know how to handle it? And you know how to refuse to let it stay around you and worry. You commit it to God, because your worrying doesn't help you and doesn't help the person you're worrying for most of the time. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads if you would. Oh, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray you'd forgive us tonight, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. How many times have I worried and fretted over things? The worry didn't help me or the situation. Didn't make it no better. Actually made me worse. How many under the sound of my voice have done the same thing? Lord, we've let past situations get us into places and we just keep talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And it releases these stress factors in from our brain into our body, and our body is reacting. God, help us. Help us, Lord, to lay many of these things at the altar tonight. We don't need to lay a pack of cigarettes, many of us. We ain't never smoked. We don't need to lay a pipe. We don't need to lay a joint of marijuana. We need to lay our worry. We need to lay that lack of ability to trust you. Oh, Lord God, whether we live or whether we die, we're yours. We'll come to a spot, Lord, if we don't take the rapture alive, all of us is going to go one way or the other. Whether by disease, an automobile accident, we don't know how we'll go, but we're going to leave this world. So when we do, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. Yet, Lord, help us, I pray, that we can live a life that's so filled with the presence of God, that in the middle of a stressful, crazy world, when people are operating under such stress levels, no wonder their tempers, just the least little thing sets them off. No wonder, Lord, that the least little thing, they go maniac on the road. It's no wonder by the cortisol and all the things that's being released in their bodies. Oh, Jesus, may we be like that man that had the dream. He was a little rabbit in the dream. The prophet tells us about it. The hounds of hell was after him. But he ran into that little hole in the rock, in that secret place. Praise God. May we run into Christ Jesus, that hole in the rock. Lord, we love our loved ones, our children, our companions. But Father, we have to have a balance somehow or another. Lord, we know that all of our family ain't bride. We've got to somehow come to a balance in this thing, that we commit all of them to you. And know, Lord God, you'll get yours. We want them to be saved, sure. But if we're not careful, they'll take our own joy, fretting over this one, fretting over that one, fretting over another one. Teach us the balance, Lord. Help us, I pray, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we need you. We need you right now, Lord. We need you in this time we're living, Father. Oh, God, help us tonight, I pray. We call on the name of the Almighty, the one who made the bodies to be able to endure such stress. But yet, Lord, as the plates of the earth, as you made them in the beginning, and when they cross under each other or over each other, and they go to releasing that pressure, and then scientists tell us that's what causes the earthquakes. Those plates as they shift and move. Lord, it's the same with us. The pressure plates in us as they shift and move under this trouble and this problem and this issue and this thing that we're going through. Lord God, help us, I pray, if we don't find a place of relief. Lord, we lose our minds. We lose our joy. We lose our peace. But we need you now, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We don't want to find our peace at Woodridge, Lord. We don't want to find our peace sitting in some psychiatrist's office with them shooting a bunch of drugs in our arm, trying to calm us down. Oh, but Lord Jesus, may you come by our way tonight, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. May the first and the original doctor walk through this place tonight. Those that are streaming and those that will go back and archive it, no matter where they are, what part of the earth they're in, may the Holy Ghost move on their hearts, Lord. Some stress about their children, their job, their family, their home. Lord, their body, oh God, just racked with all of this stuff that's going on inside. Their body's doing what it's supposed to do. They don't even realize much of it's brought on by themselves. Satan, that liar and deceiver. Oh God, help us tonight. May we be encouraged, Father. Praise God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. And he's going to sing this song for us, but may I say it to you this way. The time of your appointment has come. The doctor will now see you. You have arrived at the office of Dr. Jesus. He can take care of all of your issues. None are too small, none are too large. No matter what you're dealing with. But the doctor can only help you if you'll allow him to. And if you come to him, you must first believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Brother Ron Spencer sent out a text last night. Several different ministers. It's on a chat. You've heard me talk about it. Said the doctors had called him this week. He had texted me privately on Thursday and said, Brother Donnie, please pray. Sister Connie's having some serious, serious scans done on Friday. Please remember. Sent us out a text yesterday and said, the doctors just called and said, every trace of what Sister Connie had in her lungs is totally, completely gone. Hallelujah! He texted me privately and said, Brother Donnie, these are the same doctors 2 weeks ago that was worried to death about this test. Praise God. But every now and then, he releases enough divine energy called divine healing. And what it does, it jerks the body up like this. You understand? When you get a divine healing, it is God giving you a little foretaste of a body change. Praise God! Amen. Can you imagine? These are the same doctors that told her, there is no cure. You'll be with it the rest of your life. It may kill you. We're not sure what it'll do. On and on and on and on and on and on. But they chose not to believe what the doctor said. Oh, it's probably the medicine. No, it wasn't the medicine. There wasn't no medicine to cure it. Amen. Well, praise God. There may not be no medicine to cure you, but Dr. Jesus is in the house. He's in his office tonight. What do you need? Hallelujah. You need a physical healing. You need a revival. What do you need? The doctor is in the house. Praise God, praise God. Blessed be the Lord God. Ooh, I feel like I could break away into a heavenly language. Oh my, Lord God, children, the anointing. Oh, I praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want you to lay hands on one another right now in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Heavenly Father, we call upon your name tonight. You see the needs of your children, Lord. different sicknesses, illnesses in their bodies. Some that stream in the service tonight, God. Lord, Brother Aaron Cobb still in the hospital. Dear God, we pray for our brother tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, move for him. Lord, my mind goes to different ones, Brother Eugene Kennedy. Sister Jill, Lord, over in South Carolina. Sharon down in Kentucky. Oh, God, all over the world, your children have needs. And they need you right now. Lord, if you wait a month, some of them will be too far gone. Oh, Jesus, we need you tonight, Lord. Lord God, maybe some of them aren't sick, but yet they're just so discouraged. Oh God, they just feel so worn out and they don't know why. Their own body, by the negative thoughts they think about all the time, produces such things in their body, and it overloads their bodies with all these hormones, and they live constantly sick and feeling worn out. Oh God, may a surge of the inoculation of the Holy Ghost come my way tonight, Lord. Oh, praise God in the name of Jesus. For those, oh God, that's fighting depression, you demons of hell, I command you in Jesus' name, take your hands off of God's property. Glory to God. Those that are fighting illnesses in their body, their children gone wayward, oh Father, in Jesus' name, anoint our faith tonight, Lord. May we move beyond negativity. May we move beyond negative circumstances and negative thoughts, God. May our brain be overwhelmed by all the happiness that's released by the peace of God. Oh, Lord, it ain't mind over matter. It's taking your word over the matter. That's what we want to do. Word over matter. That's what we want. Word over sickness. Word over disease. Word over stress. Word over anxiety. Help us, I pray, Father. Oh, Jesus. We don't need the endorphins released so much necessarily. We don't need the good feeling hormones released, but release the Holy Ghost, Lord God. That divine energy of Almighty God, those that need a healing tonight. May the power of God that will change their body be released, Lord, to raise them up for a divine healing, I pray, Father. Oh, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Encourage yourself tonight, saints. I am His. I am His. He is mine. I love Him and He loves me. Amen. I'm bride. I'm going in the rapture. I'm part of this word. Oh, Satan, say, but your mistakes. You say, shut up. My mistakes has nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. He called me before I made mistakes. I'm His after I make the mistakes. And I'm His when there are no more mistakes. Praise be to God. Singing, Harry, let's worship Him together. Oh, glory to God. Let's sing it now as we reach out to Him, whatever your need is. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord God. We need you, Lord, need you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We lift our hands, we bow our knees, and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord, we need you right now. Oh, we need you, Lord, we need you, Lord, right now. Come. Our hands, we bow our knees and worship at your throne. need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Please come right now. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. Oh, we need you, Lord, right now. We lift our hands, we bow our knees, and worship at your throne.
But
falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I ever have ever done.
Brother Aaron, come on him.
Falling in love with Jesus. Jesus. I don't know about you, but falling in love with Jesus. I love falling in love.
Aren't you glad you did?
With Jesus. It was the best thing I ever done.
Oh, let's worship Him together now, saints.
In His arms I feel,
yes, Lord God,
protected.
We do, Lord Jesus.
In His arms
never
disconnected. In His arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. The best thing I've ever done. In His arms I feel protected. In His arms never disconnected. In His arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Was the best thing I've ever done. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love.